It's time to get empowered and realize your true beauty with tips, breakthroughs, and secrets of the industry. And now, here's your host, your personal beauty guru, David Pollack, and health expert, Lisa Davis.
Being in Florida, we've got a ton of humidity, and all it does is wreak havoc on my hair, well, whatever hair I still have, and it causes everybody to have problems with frizzy hair. And so today we want to address it. So if you've got a problem with your hair, we're going to have a lot of fun today. Our guest today is Dana Wood, and Dana is a three-time Condé Nast Beauty Director with W, Cookie, and Brides, and has written numerous national publications. She contributes frequently to the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, and she relocated from New York to Florida a few years ago and started a blog called FloridaBeautyProblems.com. I'm going to assume, well, because it's beauty, we're going to leave the alligators out on this one. But with Florida, we've got a lot going on. But today we're going to focus in on hair. So Dana, thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. I have so many questions for you and hopefully some answers for some of your readers, too.
Listeners. We're going to have a lot of fun. So let's talk about it for a minute. Talk to us about the basics of some of the things, you know, why does hair get frizzy and why does it for some and not others?
Well, I mean, that's a question that I kind of wanted to land on some kind of definitive, cause for it. But I mean, I think I've been doing a lot of research for it because I'm writing an ebook about frizz for my blog. And, you know, I think it stems from a lot of dryness. Your frizz-prone hair is very porous, so it needs moisture. So when the humidity starts spiking, it kind of sucks it up, and that's what makes it puffy and actually kind of kinky. Like, so it's not as straight as it normally would be. But I have naturally coarse hair, but apparently even people with fine hair can have frizz issues as well once it starts to get really humid out. So
I was just going to say that, the coarse hair is definitely connected. You know, my daughter and I both have coarse hair. I get keratin treatments because otherwise I'm going to look like Rosanna Dana, you know, if anybody remembers.
I was
Gilda
just saying
Radner back in the day on set. I know, a very old reference, Saturday Night Live, but very frizzy talk about frizz. And my daughter, her hair is really super frizzy, and I've tried all kinds of things. So I would love to know what you find best and also what you think about salon keratin treatments.
Yeah, you know, according to my colorist, I'm not allowed to get any kind of salon keratin treatment because I'm super blonde. She just said that's too much chemical processing for one head of hair to take. My sense, I mean, I just have some really, like, not great viewpoints on keratin processes in salon just because they just seem incredibly damaging. And I know that, all the hair companies have been working really hard to limit some of that damage. But I think, I mean, basically what they're doing is, what it does is break down some of the bonds in the hair and then kind of, you know, rebuild it straighter and less frizzy. Mm-hmm. But
they always tell you it's not bad for you. So it is damaging. I always was worried about the chemicals, but I didn't realize that the process itself, they always tell you it's good for your hair. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
No, I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't that long ago that they used to use formaldehyde to kind of break down the bonds of hair. I mean, they don't do that anymore. But
that I'd not known.
Yes.
At a certain point, like we, I was working at InStyle for a while on some of their special beauty issues, and we did a whole big like expose on keratin treatments, and you know it was really bad for the salon workers too. And in fact, my colorist right now said that there was she's in one of these salons that kind of rents chairs, and she said the stylist next to her was doing all these keratin treatments, and all the other stylists asked her to move to another salon because they just didn't want to breathe in any of that. Two schools of thought. I mean, I think it's really damaging, but I've never done it. Maybe it could be completely life-changing and I would get addicted to it, but I can't because my hair is too blonde, and also I just feel like it's super damaging.
Well, what can we use? Because there's so many different formulas, right? I mean, David, I'm sure you've seen this. There's silicones and there's all kinds of things.
That's the most popular, the silicones, but that's what we're constantly working on are all types of alternatives. So, Dana, go ahead. What's your experience?
Well, no, I think, you know, I've always thought, I never had good luck with silicones. And I know John Frieda built an entire empire on silicones with his Frizzies line. And but to me, I always felt that they were kind of dirt magnets. They made my hair look greasy. So I was never a big fan. But I'm wondering if glycerin is kind of like the new version of silicone. And David maybe could speak to that a little bit. It seems to be less of a dirt magnet, a less... a little less gloppy.
It's a humectant.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on glycerin.
It's a humectant, and it's going to bring moisture and bind it to the hair. But, you know, I think along the same line, because you don't want it to look greasy, you don't want it to be sticky, and glycerin can sometimes be sticky if you used it straight. So some of the other alternatives are different types of natural oils, and we've been working a lot with obsidian oil, which is a lighter weight oil that has actually helped get rid of frizz, restore some of the natural shine. And another is a fermented squalene, and squalene mimics the sebum that we produce. And so there are a lot of breakthroughs coming in the, you know, through the lab now that you'll see in stores eventually, of trying to get away from the silicones, because I'm not a fan of silicones. And so, trust me, we're racing to come up with alternatives for it, but ways to lock in that moisture and restore some natural shine. So there are definitely things to try.
Squalene for hair sounds really interesting. I had only thought of that really as a skincare ingredient, but it sounds really cool to use it in a hair capacity.
We're now playing with it where it's fermented, and in doing so, it's taking inspiration from K-Beauty, but by fermenting the oils, we can actually create something that's actually a lighter weight, so it's not as heavy, and it's not as oily, and it's not that dirt magnet you were talking about. And so it really is a great ingredient to treat the scalp as well as the hair. But let's go back to, you know, what are some of the causes? Because I know, let's face it, I have thin hair, so I blow dry my hair every day and use styling aids, and I know I'm damaging my hair, and I'll admit I color it too. So part of getting older. So what are some of the things we do that damage it or increase the frizziness?
Well, I mean, I really think the whole issue of heat styling is really like a vicious circle, vicious cycle, whatever. I never know which one of those it is, circle or cycle. But so anyone with frizzy hair, they want to, before they leave the house, they want to try to calm it down. So, I mean, there's no question that intense heat really does smooth the cuticle of the hair. So anyone with frizzy hair is tempted to blow dry their hair or use a flat iron. But then that just causes so much damage, and that will set you up with for more frizz down the road. So it's really like, what do you do? You know, it's really, I know for myself, I only blow out my hair. I only use heat a couple of times a week when, I really want to look like on point or whatever. But the rest of the time, I just try for the most part to let my hair dry naturally. But, it doesn't look great.
Is there any product that you use now? Oh, sorry, David. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What product do you use now?
For frizz.
Oh, I don't know. I use a ton of products. I go through vats and vats of deep conditioner, because I tell you, that's absolutely a huge help. You really have to deep condition your hair a lot, and way more than once a week. If you really have frizzy, coarse hair, you just have to make the time to do that. So I'm using like a ton of different deep conditioners, but I mean, I like this really expensive French brand by Christophe Robin. That's kind of a splurge. Good old Pantene works in a pinch too, and you can get that anywhere. So.
Well, there's definitely a lot of breakthroughs, coming through that and giving us natural alternatives to the silicones and ways to lock in moisture. So, you know, I think all of us, depends on where you live in the country, the time of year, how much chemical treatment, how much heat treatment, you know, have some level of frizziness that we need to fight. So keeping your hair hydrated, healthy, and cutting back on some of the heat styling, I think, are some great suggestions. even if you don't live in Florida, but you realize right. you have some of the same problems our Floridians do, visit FloridaBeautyProblems.com because you're going to see more about frizzy hair and things you can do, but a lot of other beauty topics. So if you're facing any beauty challenges, definitely check it out. Dana, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm David Pollack, your beauty guru, with the health expert, Lisa Davis. And remember, if you have a question about beauty, do what the big brands do. Just ask David.
The preceding show was produced by the Gab Radio Network. For more information about the services we provide, visit GabRadioNetwork.com.